We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Ready?
We're ready.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready!
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes.
So ready.
This is KMOX, the trusted voice of St. Louis.
And this is Overtime.
Can't go wrong, a little Pink Floyd on a Friday morning, can you? Michael Kelly and John Hancock?
Amazing.
So I sit down, you're doing the news. Hancock announces, I've never done a show before in my snooker outfit, which we'll talk about in a second.
Yes.
And I laugh so hard I spilt water all over myself.
Oh, no.
So he's dressed up like a goth clown.
What?
It's all black with
it's like a bow tie. On the base.
Your tie looks
here.
Like it's going to squirt water out at somebody at a funeral.
No, it's a
He's in all black, folks. Black pants, black shirt, black vest, black tie. And it's a bow tie.
It's a bow tie. And it's not a vest. It's a waistcoat.
A waistcoat.
Yeah, I got my waistcoat on, and I'm ready to
Looks
hit
like
the
a
base.
Waste of material, pal.
So are you in a tournament or something today?
No,
or is this just
playing with me.
Yeah.
Well, then why aren't you dressed right?
Because yeah. I have a life. John probably last night when we decided that we were going to play a little snooker today,
yes.
went immediately to his closet and pulled out today's outfit for yeah. playing snooker.
And here we are. And I think I'm going to play better because I'm going to be dressed for the occasion.
Yeah. Well, is it comfortable?
Oh my gosh.
Wearing a bow tie?
Never been more comfortable in my life.
You know, there's a sold adage, you're never supposed to trust a man in a bow tie.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I definitely agree with that now.
Paul Simon had a great career
right
in the U.S.
The
Senate.
River.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was from right down here on the southern part of Illinois, too, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Carbondale, maybe, or something?
Somewhere. We drove through the Paul Simon Expressway on our way to Ohio last weekend for a wedding.
With a little bow tie as a sign.
I did not. Yeah, I did.
Yes.
It had a bow tie.
Yeah. And he has the Institute, the Paul Simon Institute is at SIU Carbondale.
He was a newspaper man.
Yeah.
So, Brian, I heard you plug your Sunday show, and if you don't mind, I'd like to additionally
plug it. Take this opportunity. To
additionally plug it, because I, of course, Hancock and I do our television show live on Sundays, but I listen to you from the time you start until, after we get off of the radio or the TV, I usually listen. But last week, you saved my life.
How's that?
Whoa.
Because we were on, and you said there was an accident on Highway 40, and that I should take Forest Park Parkway or another way around,
right.
And I had no issues. 2 hours later, when I came back downtown, the highway was still closed. I'd have been stuck in that nightmare. So there it is, folks, even on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Brian Kelly.
Out there
saving lives.
Saving lives.
Well, we'll keep you up to date no matter when it happens here on KMOX. So thank you very much. I appreciate
that. That's a great
that.
Show.
And it's great music. He plays great music.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm just going to leave now because all I can do is go downhill from here.
Nah, you're fine. Do we have to talk real stuff?
Yeah, let's talk real stuff.
Let's talk real stuff. Let's talk about the Rams settlement. Some people were kind of disappointed. Only $790 million. Let's go to trial. Let's get all the dirty laundry out there. Michael, what do you think about this? $790 million for the city, the county, and the Sports Complex Authority.
Pretty doggone good settlement, if you ask me. It really goes back to the fact that we did pass a piece of legislation. I heard it in the news today, Lewis Reed talking about it. It was quite controversial. Our own mayor, current mayor, was opposed to it. And, that really set us up. And now we find ourselves in a position today because the lawyers had the patience to sit through the 4 years of legal games with the NFL. I mean, the NFL can hire enough lawyers to waste anybody away. So this, I think this was a perfect situation. $790 million, probably a half billion come into the city, county, and the sports authority. And as somebody who works for politicians, I hope they don't waste it.
John?
Yeah. And if had they gone to court and gone to trial, that may have been satisfying on one level to have the testimony and so forth. But the appeals of that thing would have gone on and on and on. And so reaching a settlement with that kind of dollar figure is phenomenal. It's historic, I think. I don't think any city has ever sued a major sports league and come away quite like this. So kudos to the folks involved. The lawyers got a good payday. Mm-hmm. I don't begrudge them. That's what they do for a living. So,
well, and think about it. For 4 years, they did depositions. They spent all that time in court. They flew places, and they weren't guaranteed a nickel.
No.
This could all ended with the lawyers getting nothing. But if it was not for that legal team moving forward here, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
What'd they walk away with, like $265 million?
Something like that.
So, I think it's 35% is what I read.
Yeah, 35%. So, you know, that's a good – I mean, that's a starting pitcher.
That's buying that's buying yacht money settlement there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, you both work with politicians, and like Michael said, you just hope they don't waste it. Yeah. How do you think this money should be handled, John? What should be the priority, and who should make sure that this money is not wasted?
Well, that's a couple of questions there. So anytime you get in government one-time money, this money is not going to replicate itself. So there's really only two things that make sense you can do with it. You can do capital expenditures that you're going to pay for, and they're up and they're done, and you don't incur ongoing costs. That would be a mistake. So capital expenditures like that, or some kind of endowment. You put the money into some fund and appropriate the revenue that it generates on an ongoing basis. Those are the two things you can do. What you don't want to do is obligate yourself to ongoing expenses down the road, then this money's going to run out and then you're done. And all too often, that's what politicians do.
And I'm hopeful that the lawyers who, they're pretty good standing in our community, maybe reeled into the settlement where some of this money's going to go. Obviously, we have to pay off the dome and likely knock down the dome and invest in our convention center.
Yeah.
So I hope some of the money goes to that. And then, like John says, I hope it's locked so that it doesn't come up with these crazy ideas we have sometimes about paying for, tent encampments or porta potties for, ridiculousness, when this could be transformational money. But I really worry about the myopic view that a lot of politicians have these days that will probably waste it on something silly.
You know, to me, if you want to make a lasting impact, and I've said this to you guys before, I think the top priority would be education. The way you reduce crime, the way you increase productivity and success and financial stability is by raising up the lowest of our society, and do you do that, I believe, by educating young people, keeping them off the streets, giving them things to do, giving the kids in North St. Louis and North St. Louis County the same educational opportunities
right.
the kids in Wildwood have. Is that possible? How could you do that? This, like you said, this could be transformative, and to me, the way you transform the region long-term is by investing in the youth.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see how you would fund individual school districts like that. You know, the reality of what's going on in education, and here in the city we talk bad about the city schools, but I mean, they're some of the best funded schools in the entire state of Missouri.
Yeah.
But I do think, we got to make good on that promise for the North County a rec center or some type of thing that Retta Days has been fighting for. And maybe there is an opportunity to invest this money in some type of education. I really like this endowment idea. We had something a long time ago when one of the insurance companies sold to the state and they created the Missouri Foundation for Health.
Right.
And we are still reaping the opportunities that come from that. That foundation is funding cessation programs and et cetera. So maybe they can come up with something like this and potentially do that with education.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We do have now in state law, and Missouri is way behind the curve on school choice options that other states have employed. And other states have wide-ranging options for parents. Missouri, not so much. But one of the things that Missouri does have, if you're in a public school, you have an option to opt for virtual education. So, you know, we all saw the virtual schools during the pandemic. Well, a lot of parents have decided that that virtual education is a better education for their children. And so the kids are at home, but they're online, and so maybe there's a way that some of this money can be used. If you're in a failing school, your kid's getting bullied, whatever the issue may be, that you get this virtual option, and a lot of kids thrive in that environment. It's not for everybody, but certainly there's a potential there.
All right, John Hancock, Michael Kelly, they are on Overtime today. I'm Brian Kelly. And we'll continue talking about the governor's overseas trip, the Missouri governor's overseas trip, as Overtime continues. It's 840.
This is Overtime
on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
The Missouri Governor Mike Parson is going overseas, and he wants them to spend some money and bring some business to the Show Me State. John Hancock, we'll start with you on this. What are you looking for from this trip to Israel and Greece?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We do a lot of manufacturing that takes place in Israel ends up here.
Mm-hmm.
I did some work years ago with the fellow that owned Vijon that made the hand sanitizer, which had a great year in 2020, I'm sure. But a lot of their manufacturing is done in Israel. And so there's a lot of business opportunities there. I'm not as well acquainted with the Greek economy, although I'm married to a Greek woman. So they're very industrious people. I will say that. But what you're going to find is that we sell some Missouri products there. I'm sure there's a good deal of agricultural exporting that takes place from Missouri to those nations. So I hope the governor does well.
Will he, Michael?
I hope. I don't have much hope in this governor. I don't think he's qualified or prepared for the job that he has. I think he proves that almost on a monthly basis. When was the last time he was on KMOX? I heard you playing some sound this morning. But
we got that from down the hall.
Yeah, he just won't really talk to folks. Look,
he's been on with us, buddy.
Sure. So here's my kind thing. Let's hope that there's able to come up with some stuff. Other than that, at the end of the day, I just wonder if this is just a junket to maybe see the world.
Interesting. So what about the Missouri legislative session? Of course, we were a month and a half or so away from the beginning of the next legislative session. Michael Kelly, what do you think should be the priorities, and what do you think are the likely priorities?
Well, anything that I think is going to be a priority will not even be considered in the Missouri legislature, like the expansion of health care or, fixing our roads or dealing with education. What they're more likely to be doing is coming up with abortion bills to further try to limit abortion, the further legalization of guns, which is what we've spent a lot of time in Missouri on. It's really unfortunate, and I blame termites a lot for this, but we're not getting substantive legislation anymore. We're getting what I call soundbite legislation so that folks like these state senators can run for higher office because they're timed out. And as a result, we get this, we're going to do something for border protection. We're 1,000 miles from the border. I mean, we're just not focused on real stuff in the Missouri legislature.
Well, John? Not so much. We have passed a gas tax. We are addressing the road issue in the state of Missouri. They passed education savings accounts last session. Which are going to give parents more options. We were just talking about education and give parents more options on educating their children. I would hope to see some kind of crime initiative in this next session come up in perhaps empowering the Attorney General to intercede when local prosecutors aren't getting the job done. That's an area that I know was much discussed in the past. I'd like to see the legislature act on that. It's typically you don't get a lot accomplished in an election year, and this is an election year. So the years that you really govern are the year after the gubernatorial election. That was last session. So I don't know that they're going to get a lot done, but I think there's certainly some issues to focus on there.
The governor has indicated somewhat that he might be interested in taking another look at the Second Amendment Preservation Act, because he's hearing from some local law enforcement authorities that it's really handicapping what they can do. They're afraid to work with the feds on gun crimes.
Yeah.
Do you think that has any traction at all?
Yeah. I mean, the intent of that legislation, and I don't know, sometimes things get drafted in Jefferson City that don't accomplish what they intended to accomplish. But the intent of that legislation was that if the federal government passed a gun restriction law that we deemed to be unconstitutional, that the state of Missouri would not follow that edict until it plays out in the courts and eventually the courts rule whether or not that federal law would be constitutional or regulation would be constitutional or not. That was the intent of the law. But as you say, Brian, you've got local law enforcement under this law that are reluctant to work with the feds. That's, you know, that's no good. And so if the language needs to be refined, they need to do that.
Michael, do you have any hope that it could be scaled back a little bit?
I hope so. But this is a perfect example of the type of stuff that we're passing in Jefferson City. I mean, this is it's common sense that this was ridiculous, that we were going to, prosecute anybody who worked with the federal government, particularly in gun laws. We're a tale of two states, one state that's dealing with quite urban issues and another one that's living in a fantasy world of Trumpism. And, I'm hopeful that maybe some of those Trumpers will come around and realize what's happening in the major communities of Springfield, St. Louis, and Kansas City is devastating our opportunity for economic development throughout this entire state.
So what about inflation? That's one thing that we are dealing with as we head into the holiday shopping season, also supply chain issues. Who's to blame for that? We'll talk about that next with John Hancock and Michael Kelly on Overtime.
This is Overtime
on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
You like this one, Michael?
I love all the music you play, BK.
Well, this is Matt.
Matt Pajewski.
And he is playing some good stuff.
He is playing good stuff.
So we appreciate that. It's
he's
always good.
He's a one-hit wonder,
he's
right?
He's a musical.
Bob Dylan's kid.
Is it?
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Right?
Matt is a musical aficionado over here.
Yeah.
Big time.
Jacob Dylan, is that right? I think that's who this is. One headlight.
I'm going to go see James Taylor on Saturday, a week from Saturday.
Right.
Jackson Brown.
Brown.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that show.
We saw him at Riverport, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. You know, who knows? But it's a great concert.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's conversational. The music's great. You'll have a good time.
Cannot wait to see that show. Get out. It's fun to go to shows once again.
It is.
You know? Goodness, it's back.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I want to talk about inflation. We're all dealing with it right now. Gas prices are up. They're kind of trickling down a little bit, starting in that way. Of course, the president always takes the heat for things like that. John Hancock, how responsible is the president for what we are seeing with inflation and supply chain issues, et cetera?
So he's not solely responsible, clearly. All the spending that we did through COVID in the Trump administration and now in the Biden administration has contributed to it. I think, too, that, you know, we had reached a period in this country where we were more or less energy independent, you know, because we were drilling, we were fracking, we were, you know, building pipelines. And a lot of that has been shut down through regulatory authority in this administration. And I think that's contributed to the cost of gas. And the cost of gas, of course, affects everything we buy. So you've got that is an inflation driver. Then you've got the government pumping money into the economy, giving people money, which increases demand side impulses. And we've got supply chain issues. So when supply goes down, demand goes up, inflation goes up. And all of those things kind of are conspiring. And they brought us to this point where it's the highest inflation in over 30 years.
Yeah, John, everything John just said is right. So it's really not this president's fault. What will be this president's fault if he's not able to use the levers of government and the bully pulpit of those that he can influence that aren't necessarily under his direct purview to try to get this under control? And I think that's ultimately what this president will be judged by. But John's right. We're reaping the consequences of 20 years of putting the juice into the economy, and now we've got to reconcile it.
So, you know, and if they pass this, whatever it is, $1.9 trillion, I think what the House passed, if they do pass that kind of spending now, that's only going to exacerbate the situation that
much
we're
like
in.
The $1 trillion tax cut did. Yeah, so it's just,
you know, the tax cuts
didn't pay for itself. Tax John
cuts,
Hancock.
Tax cuts are not so much demand side stimulants, though, Michaels. Tax cuts are used for investment, capital growth, and you know, it's a different kind of economic incentive than when you hand out money.
What's unbelievable to me about tax cuts is how everyday Americans go out and advocate for them. Because y'all do a good job on messaging it, and at the end of the day, we make Elon Musk a trillionaire because that's where the money's going to wind up. It's going to wind up with the richest Americans.
Well,
and finally, we have a program of $1 trillion that's going to be invested in the pockets of everyday Americans rather than those at the very, very
well,
top.
But here's the thing about demand side stimulus ends up in the pockets of the billionaires, because when people buy stuff, they buy stuff from companies that are owned by billionaires. So, you know, it's just, you know, wealthy people do well in a vibrant economy.
What about everybody else?
Well, that's what this is supposed to be addressing. You know, and Democrats, I appreciate what John's saying about spending. But at the end of the day, Democrats are smarting for over nearly two decades of just constantly giving to the wealthiest Americans. And this is finally our chance to get a piece into our pocket. Is it maybe the smartest fiscal policy? Potentially not. But goodness gracious, after 20 years of tax cuts, isn't it time that everyday Americans get their piece of the pie?
Yeah, and I'd like to see everyday Americans have access to opportunity. And this country is unique in that you can, from absolutely nothing, you can achieve great success. And it's not the only country in the world that's that way, but it certainly is has been that. That's been a feature of what it means to be an American for a very long time. And I'd rather see government policies open up opportunities and access. We talked about education. It's a great example of the kinds of opportunities that could exist. And I'd like to see government policy promote that instead of just handing money away.
Michael, is the president taking this as seriously as he should? Are the steps he's taking going to help?
I hope. You know, time will tell. Reappointing Chairman Powell was interesting. And I'm actually kind of supportive of it,
yeah,
because it is a continuation of more of the Trumpian policies. So I guess they'll be sharing whatever blame comes from it with those who put him in place.
Michael Kelly, John Hancock, I'm Brian Kelly. Thanks for hanging out with us on Overtime. Those two guys are going to be hanging out with you for the next couple of hours.
Oh, boy.
It's 8:57 in Mid-America.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.